Open your Bible with me, please, to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to explore the subject of victory in the Christian life. I think one of the greatest needs in the life of an average child of God is victory. We just want to be able to be victorious. We want to be able to be experiencing the very best God has for us. A defeated life, living on a sacrificial roller coaster, or spiritual, I should say, a spiritual roller coaster between discouragement and occasional mountaintops is not the way God intended for us to live. He wants us to be experiencing victory regularly in our Christian life. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." And that's interesting, because we've said so much about faith in the past, it's interesting that victory comes through faith, through trusting the Lord. And the reason is, and we pray this regularly, and I suspect that you do as well, God, help us not to be overburdened by our problems, because you don't have any problems. God, nothing's a problem for God. He knows the answer, and he plans to give the answer in his time. And so the issue of us being discouraged or defeated is not really, it just doesn't fit. It's not compatible with faith in an immortal and all-powerful, almighty God. And so the subject of victory is a very important one for the children of God. God wants his children to have victory. And this is a principle that should be readily accepted. Look with me to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. God wants his people to have an abundant life that is victorious. And in the Psalms, in Psalm 16, verse 11, the Bible makes another statement about that sort of thing. And if you see one of these verses that really speaks to you, mark it in your Bible and underline it and remember it. Verse 11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And this is talking about a life of victory. Jesus said in John chapter 8, when he was talking to the Pharisees and the people who came to accuse him, he said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then again in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, the Bible says this, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace." God wants us to be able to experience victory in our life. And there are definite steps in the Christian life toward victory. And the first of them, since 1 John 5, 4 said, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Well, then belief in God is the first step towards victory in the Christian life. Believe in God. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." What you do in the name of Christ is not in vain. It will be successful. It will accomplish what God intends to accomplish with it. So be encouraged with that. And we take God at his word, first of all. That is the first step toward victory. Then we claim his promises. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54, speaks of this subject. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54, says, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." We claim his promises that he's going to swallow up death in victory, and there will be victory for the child of God who puts his confidence and trust in the Lord. And this is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8. Isaiah 25, verse 8 says, "He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God shall wipe away all tears from off all faces." You know where that appears in the Word of God. It's a description of heaven. and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. The Lord has spoken it. We believe in God. We claim his promises, and we don't accept defeat or discouragement. We do not accept these things because they aren't part of our relationship with the Lord. Defeat, discouragement. God doesn't know what it means to be discouraged. I think he could define it, but he's never been discouraged himself. He's never been defeated himself. And so those who claim his name should not be discouraged or defeated either. We ought to be able to claim victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that begins with faith. It begins with claiming his promises. And there are three particular enemies of the saint. They are the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the victory over these come sort of in all the same way. The world, the flesh, and the devil that war against the soul of the child of God. Ephesians chapter 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And so Satan is attacking. The devil is one of our chief enemies. And the world and the flesh are others of our other of our chief enemies, the things that fight against us. The Bible says, don't love this world because it's your enemy. Don't love the flesh. It's your enemy. Don't serve or follow the devil's line of thinking. He's your enemy. And he wants to devour you. And so resist him steadfast in the faith. And the Bible teaches us that we ought to just keep our eyes on the Lord. To not put ourselves in the place of discouragement and defeat. And we can have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to identify our enemy when it comes to the world. Look at John chapter 18, verse 36. John chapter 18, verse 36. Identify your enemy when it comes to your battle with the flesh and with the world around you, particularly. John 18, 36. Says this, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Christ's kingdom is not of this world, and this world system is ruled by the devil, and he is our real adversary. And so these kind of overlap quite a bit, the world, the flesh, and the devil, because the devil kind of in charge of this world. And he rules here. But that's one of our enemies. The flesh is one of our chief enemies. And so we identify that enemy in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. The Bible says this about our flesh. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And why is the corruption in the world through lust? Well, it ties with our flesh. It's through lust. The lust of our flesh. Our flesh defeats us. And our thinking process often defeats us just because of what we are, because we are sinners. We're not naturally on the same plane that God is on. We're not naturally on the same frequency, if you will, that God is on. This is something that we've got to make ourselves available to. This is something that we've got to pursue ourselves. Lord, help me to communicate with you as I should, because my old flesh wants to drag me downward, wants to defeat me, wants me to become worldly, wants me to take the easy way. And what's the easy way? The easy way at the moment is the sinful way, the lustful way. That's the easy way at the moment. And the Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. Because it's not ultimately easy. It's not easy to become a slave to our sin. It's not easy. It is actually easy to become a slave to our sin, but that lifestyle is not an easy life. When we are bound, when we allow sin to have dominion over us, we instead reject that and say, I want to walk with God. I want to seek the Lord. I understand who my enemy is. And like Pogo said years ago, we found the enemy, and the enemy is us. We are our own worst enemy, and it's an enemy that's within us. and it'll always be. But I'm so thankful that God is greater. I'm so thankful that God is greater than any enemy that we face. Whether it's the world, whether it's the flesh, whether it's the devil, we understand our enemy. We understand that the world is built to entice people, to try to get their love, to try to get them to do what the world wants them to do. And the flesh tries to get us to do what the flesh wants us to do, what the old flesh is naturally inclined to do. And we must not go that way, folks. We must not. That's not the path to victory. That's the path to disgrace and shame and conviction and defeat. We must not go that way. We must reject the flesh, reject the old sin nature, and follow Christ and walk with God. What do we do to gain victory over the world and over the flesh? Well, the Bible says that we look to the Lord, we trust Him. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And 1 John 2:17 says something that's very similar to that. The Bible says, "The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And so we realize that God has made a provision for us to be able to gain victory. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And we have the potential in us to be able to live to the honor and glory of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." And this is very much key to gaining victory in your personal Christian life, is that you realize that it's the flesh's method, it's the world, it's the devil's method to walk by sight, for you to be captivated by what you see, rather than saying, "No, I'm gonna keep my eyes on the Lord. I'm gonna walk by faith. I'm gonna be a person who doesn't have to rely upon sight. Instead, I'm going to rely upon faith, looking to the Lord." In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, the Bible says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." You know what? Most of the time when we fall to the flesh, it's because we've made provision for the flesh. We have sort of paved the way for the flesh to gain control and get a foothold in our life. Rather than filling up our minds and filling up our hearts and our time with things that will resist the flesh, we will cater to the flesh. And then we shouldn't be surprised when we fail, because we have opened the door for that kind of influence anyway, instead of getting strength from the Lord. Well, the Bible tells us that we can have victory over the devil as well. We translate Christ's victory into our own experience, and 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says that God, the people of God, are on the winning side. What a great side to be on. 1 John 4, 4 says, "You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And you don't have to be defeated. You don't have to be constantly falling and failing to the flesh. Greater is he that's in you. If you're a child of God, if you're saved, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And it's time to start experiencing that victory, rather than just rolling over and playing dead whenever the tempter, whenever the sin nature, whenever the world decides to launch its attacks against you. There's no reason for God's people to be defeated and to feel guilty and to feel defiled and discouraged and not experience victory in their life. There's no purpose. There's no real reason for that. There is a promise of victory. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 37. God promises victory. I don't know where I was looking the other night. I had Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39 as text verses, or as verses I want us to read in this message, but I couldn't find Romans 8, 35 to 39. Well, here it is right here. It never moved. Romans 8, 37 says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And the Bible says that we can have victory over the flesh and victory over sin and victory over the devil. We can have victory. God never intended his people to have to languish in defeat. Oh, that's just something I have to live with. No, it's not. You don't have to live with that. You don't have to stay there. Somebody has said that the life of faith is just one step away, and the life of victory, too, is just one step away. It's a matter of me humbling myself and submitting to the Lord and saying, God, I just want to see you exercise your power in my situation, and I'm trusting you to do that. Victory is only just one step away. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, we've quoted verse 58, but verse 57, just the prior verse, says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's able to give us victory, and this is the promise of victory, and Christ is the person of victory. And the Apostle Paul wrote from prison, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And was he a man who was defeated even though he was locked up in a Roman dungeon? I think it's safe to say no, he was not defeated. Even though he'd lost his freedom, even though he was accused and prosecuted and convicted unjustly, he was only doing what God commanded him to do, and God is the higher authority, obviously. But I think it's accurate to say, I think we're safe to say that Paul was not defeated and Paul was not discouraged. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he said, I have all in abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ. It doesn't matter where I am. And the Lord has permitted me to be in this dungeon, in this Roman prison. But that doesn't mean I've got to be defeated. Doesn't mean I've got to be discouraged. And so victory is God's plan for his people. He wants us to claim that victory. He wants us to be those who live in victory. And the path of victory is God's word plus faith. God's word plus faith. Look at Psalm 119 with me. Psalm 119. Verse 9 and verse 11 teach us, and these are verses that are familiar to you, they teach us that the word of God keeps us from sin. Verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? And then verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. The word of God keeps us from sin. God's word plus faith equals victory. And it could be, if you find yourself often weak and you find yourself tossed to and fro and carried about by the temptations of the flesh, and you find yourself often defeated, it may well be, and I would recommend this to you, you spend more time in your Bible. God will give the victory through faith. The word of God plus faith equals victory. Look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. And I'm very serious about this. Most of us don't spend as much time in God's Word as we need to spend. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, Christ said these words, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Christ was speaking from personal experience here. His flesh was weak. His flesh was not sinful, but he was at a point where he was weak in his humanity. And I think that's the reason why he prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He experienced all the temptations and the weaknesses, the frailties of human existence like we do, yet without sin. He did not sin in that. But he said, the flesh is weak. And he said the solution for that is watch and pray. Be watchful and pray. Be prayerful so you don't enter into temptation. The flesh is willing, the spirit is willing, I should say, but the flesh is weak. And so watch and pray. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The Bible teaches us that God will provide strength to escape the temptation so that we can emerge victorious and we can have triumph when it comes to facing things perhaps that have caused us to fail in the past. You know, it's wise, it's smart to avoid the places and situations of temptation for you. And you know what I'm talking about. Some people need to get rid of their internet service because they can't handle it. That's a place of temptation for them. And it's always the same. It always defeats them. And you know, some people have various different kinds of struggles. And some people get discouraged when they talk to certain people because certain people are always gossiping and saying negative things about others, and so that causes them to struggle with their attitude. You know what? You ought not to talk to that person. Don't talk to that person. Stay away from that type of influence in your life. And don't let the conversation degenerate that way. But the fact of the matter is, whatever our place of temptation is, the Lord will provide strength to escape that temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." He will provide a means for your escape so that you can be victorious even in the place of temptation, even at the same place where you at other times have been defeated. Just take advantage of the opportunities that God gives you to escape. You say, when is that? Well, usually it's right when that temptation first comes. You and I make a decision. When a temptation first comes, you and I make a decision if we're going to entertain that temptation or if we're going to reject it. We make a decision right then. And usually it's all downhill from there if we accept that temptation, if we don't respond to it negatively. But God has promised us here that he will provide a way to escape. So we'll be able to bear that temptation when that temptation comes so that we can emerge victorious. We can come through that with victory. And we can be blessed. It doesn't mean that anybody in this life is going to be sinless. It does mean that they'll be able to conquer the thing that so dominates their life a lot of times and has dominion over them. You don't have to go there. You don't have to live a life of defeat. God wants you to have victory. And it's a matter of claiming God's promises, believing his word, and being obedient to him, following on with that faith. The word of God plus faith equals victory. And so this is the path to victory. Christ is the person of victory, and the promises we find throughout the word of God. God wants his people to be victorious in the face of challenges. He doesn't want us to be dragged around like we've got a ring in our nose and the devil's got a hold of that and he's pulling us wherever he wants us to go. He doesn't want people to have to live that way. He has planned victory for the child of God, and may the saints live in victory today and say, you know what, I don't have to be afraid of man. I don't have to be controlled by my lust. I don't have to be that kind of a person. I can be one who is victorious in Christ. I can claim the victory in Christ, and I can be what God wants me to be. Amen. Let's pray.